Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. It is Lee Cantor. I'm here with Stone Payton, and today we have a very special, the State of the Dental Industry Show? How are you framing this?
Absolutely. It's the Dental Health Special Edition of Atlanta Business Radio, and we've been planning this for a long time. You know, we ran into this guy, Patrick O'Rourke, at the remote broadcast that we were doing for SHRM's 22nd annual something or another. He was like one or two booths down. We felt really bad, and we were trying to be apologetic because I know we were loud and obnoxious, but he was such a patient guy. We got a chance to visit with him. Some of our clients visited with him. A lot of folks coming by the booth got a chance to know him. And so we hung out for a while, and we said, we got to have you in the studio, man. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Patrick.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And there's a lot of characters that day, including Bugs Bunny. And, you know, I didn't mind being next to you guys at all. We were able to see almost every other vendor and client attendee that came into the SHRM conference and, you know, was able to talk to them about Solstice Dental and Vision. So it was a real pleasure, plus getting to know you guys. So today we're here to talk about modern dentistry, and that's going to be more fun than a root canal, I promise you. And I'd like to introduce Dr. Jason Eaglin of Eaglin Dental Group, and then I'll kind of let him talk later. And then we also have Ben Suggs with us from Practice PRM, and he is an expert in dental practice marketing. So with that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about different technology that's available that's out there today with different practices. And I think that Dr. Eaglin is sort of on that cutting edge, if you will. And so I want to hand it over to him to talk about some of the interesting things that he does at his practice that makes it not drills and hacksaws, as some people might believe.
Well, the logo wear is a good start. I think your logo wear looks great, Doctor.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it a lot. Technology is the really big thing that's changed in the last 20 years in dentistry. It's not that old, hold you down, let me extract your tooth, let me do this, let me do that. It's really, virtually we can do anything with technology. Today you can go on Google, you can go on YouTube, you can see exactly what you want. You can bring pictures in, bring photos. We can digitize your dental health. We can digitize your smile, show you exactly how it looks on you before we perform that procedure. At Eaglin Dental Group, we have three multifaceted practices all over Atlanta. And what we specialize in is one-day smile makeover. One appointment, one visit, one shot, one
You may not want to use the word shot.
Yeah, we don't want to use the word shot. And see the thing,
so that's why we have the marketing guy here next to him.
And see, the thing is, everybody has this bad inclination with shot. It's a technology out now called the Dental Vibe that we use at the practice. It is the technology that actually it's like a vibrating tongs that you actually put near the injection site of the patient, and you actually don't feel anything. I actually have videos on my website. I have videos on my iPhone, my iPad that shows kids that come in that don't feel anything. So it's no more of that hold you down dentistry. It's a lot of
Did you get
great,
rid of that little
technology.
Metal pokey thing that's got the kind of curvy?
The probe. Yeah. We don't have to probe. We have lasers. We can actually do dentistry without a drill. Can you
really?
Believe that? We can actually not even touch the patient. We can use laser technology, the water laser technology, use the water and a laser to remove decay.
Now, is this because you were so committed to practicing dentistry this way, or is this the new way of developing dentists as they come out of school, or is it a little bit of both?
It's more of being dedicated. You have to take a lot of loans out, get in a lot of debt.
But
it's not cheap at all. But this technology, the old way, is phasing out. As you have the dental schools that are implementing it more, you're going to have a lot of the dentists that are not going to use it because they can't compete. Like I was telling the guys earlier, is I just started a laser whitening technique where we're actually able to laser whiten your teeth in 20 minutes, 8 shades, and you come in, no pain, come out 8 shades whiter.
Wow.
And so we did that. We grouped with Living Social, and we did a laser whitening technique, and it's great, wonderful. Drive new patients to the practice, and you can't beat it.
Is that the point of entry, the whitening?
Whitening is who wants to put a billboard up and say, hey, like you said, with the shots, who wants to come in and get a crown? Nobody wants to come and get a crown. Everybody wants white teeth.
Right.
Little kids come in.
Right.
They want white teeth.
I want white teeth.
Everybody wants white teeth.
Now, how'd you get into dentistry when you were a kid? You're like, you know, most people want to be like cowboys and, you know, firemen. And you're like, I'm going to be a dentist.
I grew up in that Cosby Show age. So as I was growing up, I was looking at the Cosby Show. I would say, oh, he has a great career. He's an obstetrician. I could deliver babies. And so my mother and my grandmother said, well, you know, some of those babies would die, you know, die, or the mothers would die. And I said, well, don't want to do that. And so I said, dentistry is a good 8 to 5, 9 to 5 job. I don't have to be in a hospital, because who likes hospitals? Right. Every time you think of a hospital.
So you knew you wanted
death.
To get in the medical profession.
Yes, you want to help people. And you want to be a business owner. You want to have flexibility. So that's what kind of drove me
to
dentistry.
Was there anything now that you're kind of a practicing dentist, is it as you imagine it to be?
Definitely not at all. The business side is the thing that we don't learn about in dental school. So the actually practicing dentistry is the fun part, is the no-brainer.
Right.
But the business side is, that's where we need this guy, like right here. We need so much help with the marketing and how to set yourself apart.
Was that surprising to you?
Very surprising.
You
very
thought
surprising.
Just
open,
you know,
up
open a door
and the
then
patients show up. That's what they tell you in school.
Really?
Open the door and they'll
that?
Come.
They tell you that?
They'll come.
Do they really tell you?
Yeah, they do. They do. Wow. They don't go into business classes. I think if they had business classes in dental school, it would be probably like a 5-6 year program.
Right.
Nobody would want to be a dentist. Yeah.
Too many classes, right?
Yeah, basically.
So Ben, how do you work with folks like the good doctor here?
Well, I work with a lot of startups who are starting to practice for the first time. We do a full marketing plan for them to get them up and going. Like, you know, in your case, you know, every time you open your doors for the first time, you want to get really going strong in those first few months, because it's a, as you know, like you mentioned, you're taking out loans, you're spending a lot of money. So I work with them getting their practices going, and the name of the game is getting the phones ringing, getting the doors swinging. We want people coming in. Setting appointments, and we want those people coming back. Patient recall is another big thing we focus on. It's one thing to go out with, you know, a $0 offer and get a bunch of people to come in, but they're likely not going to come back. They're going to go look for the next $0 offer, the next $0 offer as well. So on the startup side, that's what we do. I also work with a lot of existing practices, just as kind of what I call it is their outsourced CMO. So that's a chief marketing officer, and it follows exactly with what you were just saying. That, you know, these dentists are amazing at dentistry, and they're just not taught a lot of this marketing and business management stuff in dental school. So that's where I'm able to come in and say, hey, you know, you're spending all your time by the chair with the patient. Let me come in and manage your marketing for you, get it up and running, get the engine going, and then get your staff involved so they can continue to run it in the future.
Now, do you specialize in dentists or all medical professionals?
I mostly work with dentists, but I do work with some doctors and veterinarians as well. Uh-huh. But definitely dentists is where I'd say primarily 90% of the focus is.
And do you find them pretty receptive to your ideas? Are they resistant, or are they like, man, I'll take all the help I can get?
That's too hard of a question to answer in 1 hour. But some are and some are not.
Runs again.
You know, that's one of the things that I would say is, you know, listening to Dr. Eaglin, he's very receptive, obviously, to opening up not only technology in the practice, but to going after new marketing technology as well. There are a lot of doctors out there that you need to work with them to kind of evolve them a little bit in that sense. They go back to kind of that, the old model where, like you said, you open the door and they come, or, you know, every patient refers another patient and it just grows exponentially from there. But, you know, that worked well when there were one or two practices in every little town outside of Atlanta.
And you know, grew up there.
Exactly. And everyone knows you, and you're the community stalwart.
Right. And
everyone.
your parents went there, so
exactly.
Then you go there.
Exactly. And nowadays it just doesn't work that way. I mean, every time you think you got the market share, another practice is going to open up across the street. And those new practices are going out with, you know, more aggressive marketing tactics than those older practices. So I work with them a lot to kind of bring them and involve them, bring them along.
Now, is social media come into play here?
It absolutely does. And that's one of the big things that, one of my favorite things that I hear from doctors sometimes, if I sit down and I say, hey, you know, you need to be on Facebook because that's where everything's moving. One of the first things I'll hear is, well, I'm not on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I have to respond, I don't care if you are or not. I care if your patients are on Facebook or potential patients are on Facebook. Yeah. It's not whether you're there or not. But that's, you bring up social media. I mean, that's a huge, huge thing now, to the extent that it's, if you look at even just a few years ago, if I needed to find it, well, let's take it back 10 years or 5 years. When I needed to find a dentist, I would go to the Yellow Pages or I'd ask a friend. Mm-hmm. 5 years or, you know, 3 years ago, it's Google. I would go to Google and I would see what Total Strangers thought about dentists in the area. But now I don't have to do that. I can go to Facebook or I can go to Twitter or I can go to social media and search for a dentist. And I'm not going to see what strangers think. I'm going to see what my colleagues, friends, and their friends and colleagues think about a dentist. And that greatly, greatly increases the chances I'm going to set an appointment with a dentist if I happen to know someone who goes there versus seeing what some random person whose, you know, handle is, you know, Big Mike John or whatever it is thinks about a dentist. I don't know who that person is. I don't know if they're crazy. I don't know if they're Dr. Eaglin's brother or sister. You know, I just don't know. So social media is huge.
No, Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. It might be Patrick doing it. I don't know.
Right, right. So how do you fit into this crowd? When and how do you work with these guys?
Well, what I do is I'm a regional vice president with Solstice Dental Vision, and we're an insurance carrier. And what we do is we reach out to dentists and we get them to partner with and participate with our network. Our company is a little bit different because we're owned by dentists. I'm not a dentist, but my CEO is a dentist.
You play one on TV.
Yeah, that's right. I slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night. And other large medical carriers contract and private label our plans in different states because of our ability to relate to dentists and we have the technology to process claims faster. We don't lose dentists. We're not just you want fries with that. We really are geared towards dental practices. That's what we do. That's what we know. And so I go out to different dentists and talk to them about participating with our network. And kind of to Ben's point earlier, I found that the only commonality between dentists is that they're dentists.
They're credentialed. And then after that, it's different.
I mean, because they practice independently for the most part, they have different thoughts on views on how to, you know, on insurance, on marketing, on almost anything. And so it's hard to go in there and say, hey, this is a general outline of how you're going to sell. And I see Ben, he's nodding his head. He's like,
absolutely.
He's like, you have to kind of go in there and talk to the folks and find out what's important to them and see if there's some common ground and see how you can help each other grow.
Now, Jason, how important is insurance come into play, or is your business like kind of cash? Because I would think like whiteners and things like that aren't covered by insurance.
Cash is always great. Cash is king. But no, insurance is very important. We take insurance. As a young dentist like myself, I'm 33 years old. I've been out of school since about 2001. And taking insurance is pretty much you have to do that unless you have a father or a grandfather or someone else who can give you a practice, give you keys to a practice, and you can run. So insurance is very important, but it's very important to be knowledgeable about insurance.
Sure.
To educate your patients, for your patients to come in and your patients to feel comfortable enough to where they can ask you questions. But you can explain to them your dental care is not based on insurance. Your dental care is to help you come in the door and to help you with your care. So insurance is a big learning situation, and we love it, and we work with Patrick, and it's been great so far.
So but it's got to be a lot of choices, and there got to be a lot of people knocking on your door trying to sell you everything from the powdered gloves to the insurance. How do you make time for that, or do you lean on people like Ben to kind of guide you a little bit?
Yeah, we have personally, I have a business coach, and then I have help from like Ben and other people like that. I have a CMO, a marketing director.
You have your own CMO?
Man. Yes, which is my wife. So,
but you're taking this seriously, though. You are dedicating a specific function.
Position, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to do that. Having three dental practices, having like three newborn babies. So, you know, having a staff, a team of 16 or 17, you have to be able to be serious about it. You can't play around, because when the bills are due, you have to pay. Or they're going to take your practice and sell it to the next guy. So it's very, very important to lean on people, have people do research for you, have people help you along the way, but use a team concept to help.
Now, what was the thinking of three locations, or is it three individual practices? Like, how do you look at it?
Well, it's one practice, so we're actually one practice but three locations. We're actually, our vision is to grow to 12 locations all around Atlanta. So with doing that, we have independent contractors. We have specialists that come in, endodontics, which does root canals, as we were talking about before, which is great now. Don't be scared of root canals. Root canals are wonderful.
We just can put the little vibrating thing on you. And it's...
We can do those with lasers. We don't have to touch you. No drill, no frill. Everything's good. We have periodontists. We have all different specialists. So it's really to be able to meet the consumer's needs. We have professionals that come in that need their work today. We have special appointments where if you need to come in at 7 at night and you're catching a flight at 9, we can squeeze you in, special appointment for the CEO. So you have to be able to meet the consumer's need. Very, very important, because if you have these rigid hours, we're only open from 7 to 3 Monday through Thursday. What happens if somebody breaks a tooth on the weekend? What happens if, you know, it's vacation time, you go on a cruise or something like that happens? So we try to be as convenient as possible and as flexible as possible so we can meet all the patient's needs.
You got Sports Center on the roof, so when I'm laying
we lay back. You can watch Sports Center. You can watch the Miami Heat and the OKC Thunder. You can watch that, and we have all the
pipe
technology.
In Business Radio X, I'm right.
Yeah,
we'll work on that.
Exactly,
right?
We'll work on that.
You can pipe it through the speakers. That sounds
right.
Cool.
Right. So now, as a layperson, I'd like to get your take on this.
Definitely.
Because you hear. And sometimes read, or at least I have, that oral health is like the window to overall health.
Definitely.
And it has a tremendous impact on everything from cardiovascular health to all kinds of how accurate is that?
Very accurate. The bacteria in your mouth, the bacteria in your mouth can get in your bloodstream. Your bloodstream, you can either get, you are more susceptible to strokes, heart attacks, high blood pressure. Everything is the key. A healthy mouth is really a healthy body. And what we're finding out more and more, people who regularly go to the dentist, those are the people who are least likely to get these conditions. Huh. So it's very, very important. It's very, very important to go to your local dentist, get a checkup. You know, don't be scared of dental x-rays. I know it's a lot of taboo out there right now. Dental x-rays cause brain tumors or all of this. Actually, the radiation in a dental x-ray, especially a digital, if you find a digital office, we're totally digital, meaning that we don't take the old film, we don't use as much radiation. We're digital. Well, we'll go ahead and we can take your x-ray, and it's 10 times less than you actually walking through the x-ray when you're going into the airport. So it's no harm to you at all.
What about those, they have all these devices, you know, like the Sonicare and those electric toothbrushes. Is that all kind
There's
of marketing?
There's no radiation there either.
No radiation. You can pay extra for radiation.
With the toothbrushes, a lot of patients, they come in and ask that, well, doc, you know, it's a Sonicare and it's $150. Should I get that or should I get? Really, you should go to your dentist, and your dentist should look at your oral health, and he would prescribe to you the better. Of course, you know, the more money you spend on the toothbrush, the better. But really, unless you have some kind of manual dexterity, meaning that you have Alzheimer's or you're a young kid or you need to get a kid excited about brushing, a regular soft toothbrush
is still fine.
Yeah.
And what wonderful. About flossing versus water picking?
Flossing still can't replace it. You can shoot some water through there, but you gotta get the chicken meat out. You gotta get the steak. You gotta use a floss. But you wanna use a thin floss. A lot of people wanna go to Family Dollar and pay a dollar and get this big tub of floss. Big tub of floss, and then it goes and it rips up your gum. So you want something really thin you can get in, and you wanna floss every night before you go to bed.
Goes the Family Dollar sponsorship.
Thanks. Sorry. Thanks, Jason. So we have a shot at Sonicare. Though.
Right, that's exactly.
But a lot of people think, well, I can floss after I eat and I'm good. Well, no, you need to floss before you go to bed because you eat that little late night
snack.
And
it's sitting there all night.
Just building up. Brush and floss before you go to bed. So that's the main thing. If you don't get anything else from me saying anything, Dr. Eaglin said, brush and floss before you go to bed. Kids especially, please. No sticky candy either.
You don't like that candy we have here? Well, you'd rather have little packets of floss? You think that would go over well?
After today, or at least for the dental show, when we unveil a dental
little
show.
Little packets of floss.
Right, and the toothbrushes and stuff. So, Patrick, I want to ask you about all this healthcare legislation. Does that have any impact at all in your world and on practices like Dr. Eaglin's?
Do we know yet? That's a very complicated question.
That's my style. Ask complicated. Lee asks simple questions. I ask complicated.
The short answer is that it's not going to have a large effect on, in my opinion, on ancillary insurance, which is your dental, vision, life, disability. And so it shouldn't have a big impact on dentists. I don't see employers walking away from it because dental as a standalone benefit is accepted from PPACA, which is the healthcare legislation. That's the acronym for it. And so, you know, it's my position and the position of leadership of our company is that, you know, we're perfectly, you know, aligned with what may happen, whether they strike it down or they don't strike it down. And I don't, I sit on the board for the Health Underwriters, National Association of Health Underwriters. I sit on the state board and the Atlanta chapter board. And it, I personally, no matter what happens, I don't see it going away, even medical insurance. I know that's a little off topic, but I don't see it going away completely from the employer anytime soon now. That's just a guess. You know, anybody who tells you that they know, they don't know.
Hold on to your
unless you're a justice. If you're a Supreme Court justice, then you know. But you still don't know what the ramifications of that decision is going to be until a year down the line. So, you know, I kind of hedge my bets. I used to sell medical insurance, and now I'm back into dental.
So, Ben, when it comes to marketing, particularly in dental practices, what kind of mistakes do dentists, because you got to see some of the same things over and over and over, will dental practices make if they don't capitalize on some expertise and some counsel from somebody like you? What kind of traps do they fall into?
Well, there's a lot there. Definitely the biggest thing is just understanding the difference between your brand marketing and your direct marketing. I've seen dentists who send out postcards, but they don't put their brand on it. So they're sending out to 10,000 people, but they're not showing their brand to 10,000 people. And when I say brand, I mean your logo, your name, something about your practice that people are going to recognize, so that the next time they see it, they're going to try and remember it. Like this, they call it the reticular activating mechanism in your brain, that you see it once and now you're going to see it everywhere. So that's what we want. You know, Dr. Eaglin, you know, in his practice, you think about people come to the dentist every 6 months if they're good. Most people don't do that. Most people come, you know, once every couple of years. We won't talk about that right now. But, you know, you may hit them with something when they're not necessarily ready to go back to the dentist. But you want them to know about you so that when they are ready to go, they're going to remember who you are, what you do, and they want to go back there. So that's a big thing. The other big thing, and I think Dr. Ingham touched on this, is differentiation. So many dentists just go out with the basic things that they do, but they don't take this next step to really differentiate what makes them different than every other dentist in town. And that's a huge, huge thing. And one of the biggest ways that I see that is, you know, we were talking about technology. And a lot of dentists, they go spend money on these beautiful machines and they do all this great stuff. But what they don't do is focus on telling people, the layperson like myself, what does that technology do for me? Uh-huh. And I think you did a great job when you explained that stuff. You know, you look at it and you say, okay, you know, I have this fancy machine, but what this machine's going to do is going to cut down your pain, your time, and your expense. That's what I want to know. I don't want to know what the name is or what it does or how much it costs or what lasers are in there. I just want to know, is it going to make my visit more comfortable? Is it going to make me not have to come back 4 or 5 times? And is it potentially going to save me money down the road for a bigger procedure? So that to me is the biggest thing. You know, it's so, you get so caught up in your business, sometimes you need a third party to come in and kind of take a step back and say, let's not talk to patients like you would talk to another dentist. Let's talk to patients like they should be talked to, which is benefit focused, but also talking down to a level, to the level that we would understand.
Now, Jason, how do you kind of build the relationships with your patients? It, you know, a lot of when you go to the dentist, you spend a lot of time with the hygienist and a little bit of time with the dentist. Do you do something in your practice that kind of builds a relationship with each of the patients?
Well, we try to treat all of our patients like family members. So I go and I actually speak with the patients. We actually have a system called Demand Force where we send them birthday reminders. Mm-hmm. We send them reminders of their appointment. We text. So if anybody has a question for me, they have my email. They can email me. They can text me. We're always available. So also what we do is we have a referral program benefit. Uh-huh. We actually have a patient. I can't mention names, but she is one of the big police officers in Atlanta, and we were able to do a smile makeover on her because she referred so many patients. So we have a great referral program to where we're trying as a practice to eliminate all obstacles. Right. So anything that can frustrate the patient, okay, I need a crown. Well, I'm gonna have to come back for 2 visits. No, you don't. You can stay right here right now. I can have it out. I can have this crown cemented in your mouth and you're out to the airport within an hour. Oh, I need a smile makeover. I need this done. Well, I don't have the money. Well, if you have friends and families who need dental, who don't have a dentist, you refer them and we can do your dentistry for maybe even free. So we're able to do hers for definitely free.
So you can kind of work with your patients to create an experience where they want to refer other people.
Definitely.
And it benefits them.
Definitely. Definitely.
Wow, that's great.
So we make a...
Can I refer you to?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Does that count? I get my free whitening?
You're halfway
free
there. You're halfway there.
Put money in the bank.
But no, he's hitting all the important things, at least for somebody like me, because for me, I'm fortunate. My wife has a real job. I can afford it. It's not the money. But for me, I'm scared to death of the dentist. Mm-hmm. And you're making it easy, and you're making it a pleasant experience. It sounds like the scheduling of the appointment, it sounds like you've even invested in a technology to help with the scheduling of the appointments and the follow-up. It's that kind of stuff. Plus, when I get there, you know, I want to be coddled. This stuff's scary to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. The people of our generation had terrible dental experiences
right?
as kids.
Yeah, really. You know, that's what we remember.
Aprons and blood on them.
And, you know, as a kid, there wasn't a kid's dentist. Like, I went to the same dentist my parents went to as a kid, and he hated kids.
It's funny you say dentist. That, too, because if you walk into a newer practice today,
right,
it doesn't look like the old doctor that we used to go to when we were kids. You know, the sliding glass and the old tired waiting room. They've gone to great lengths to make it a more comfortable and like what I would say welcoming place where
Definitely.
It's like walking to a Starbucks. It's not like walking into a the doctor that you're terrified of as your kid.
It seems like they're aware of this kind of preconception of at
Absolutely.
Least people my age.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So now when you're working with them from a marketing standpoint and you get what's that typical engagement look like? That they just came out of school, they're opening up their own practice. Do they know to call you, or are you trolling like the dental schools for recent graduates?
We got to come up with a better word.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the word troll, but I'll run with it anyway. A lot of ways. And most dentists do come out and they work in a practice for a few years before they start their own.
Right.
Most of them do. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but obviously they want to get out and actually practice for a little while. But I think it's smart for them to do that because they also build their own vision for what they want their practice to be
like. What they don't like, right.
And that's the thing is that they can look at what's happening in this practice and say, okay, when I open my practice, here's how I'm going to do it differently. Here's how I'm going to do it better. And I love working with new dentists because, you know, I tell them, I'm not here to tell you what we're going to do. I'm here to work with you because I want your vision for this practice to come through. I don't want it to be me saying, oh, we should, you know, position you this, this, and this way. I want you to tell me what you're going to do first, and then we'll work on the positioning. So I think it's a, but as far as how I find them, I can't give up all my secrets, but it's basically getting out and meeting as many people as you can.
Right.
And you're not helping companies that make basketballs or cowboy hats. You focus on medical and largely dental practice.
Absolutely.
So you have that specialized knowledge and that network.
And that's the thing. And I've worked with some of those types of not basketball manufacturers. But if there any of you are out there, my number is. But it's I feel like that's something you can bring to the table because I can actually transfer learnings. You know, I'm very confidential. I never take one dentist. I would never walk into his practice and say, that's a great idea. Let me go take this to the other dentist across the street. But general learnings you can transfer from client to client. So you can figure out things that are working and things that are not working. When you run into an obstacle in one practice, you'll know not to run into that obstacle in other practices.
Right.
And that's what you're bringing as someone like myself who's specialized in dental as a marketing consultant. I'm bringing that knowledge to the table versus just coming in and saying, all right, let's do a postcard. Tell me what you want to do. And then forcing putting it all back in the dentist to figure it out. So
doctor, how important is it to network with other dentists or at least other professionals? Do you guys play well together? Or is it a collaborative kind of world, or is it just a dog eat dog, very competitive group? Or
it is very interesting. You asked that. I was speaking to the fellas before, and it's different. It's an old school mindset, and it's a new school mindset. I'm a member of a mentor group with the Crowns, the CEREC Crowns, so CEREC Mentors, where we will actually share knowledge. We'll get on there if we have a hard case. We'll take a picture. We'll blog. We'll talk about it. Well, this is something new. In the past, dentists would just stay in their little cubicle in their little mouth, in the mouth, wouldn't talk to nobody, would be very introverted. So it's a new wave coming through. A lot of people like to share knowledge. A lot of people like to hold knowledge. So I think really now it's more so sharing knowledge. It's about helping other people, because if you help other people, you're constantly getting helped yourself. So it's always a growing, it's always a learning situation. You're always learning until you're dead.
I think that's what makes it such a unique business and why I'm able to walk into a dental office and then you can do the same thing and say, listen, I understand, because it's not a medical practice, and dental is a whole different animal than almost anything else, from an insurance and risk perspective to a marketing perspective to a business perspective. I have a question for you, Ben. Because you're probably out there and you're seeing the larger, let's say retail chains, but you know, some of the corporate models have been eating up a lot of the practices here in Georgia over the past couple of years. You know, what trends are you seeing there, and how do you see that unfolding over the course of the next couple of years, and what does that mean to the, you know, the community independent private dentists?
It's definitely going to be a challenge, and it already is in a lot of ways. And you know, earlier I mentioned those practices going out with kind of $0 exam, $0 exam and x-ray. And that's a lot of the ones that are doing that are those bigger practices. Their business model is just built in a way that they can actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a challenge. The other thing that they have, which, you know, it's tough for that one practice doctor to do, is they have a kind of a scale in their marketing. So mm-hmm. they can go out and you know, you see, so I'm not going to name the names because I don't want to offend them, but, you know, you see these big ones that are advertising on television. They're advertising on the radio, and they're able to do that because they've got 12 to 15 to 20 locations
mm-hmm.
that they can get out there and spend the big dollars, but they're getting kind of a 1 to 20 result on that
mm-hmm.
versus the one practice doctor can't spend that kind of money and try and drive a broad net to try and drive people to this one operation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely presenting a challenge on the marketing side. It's going to continue to present a challenge across the board. But from what I do see that consumers, potential patients out there, they do have a level of knowledge about dentistry now, that they know where they do and don't want to go. So I think there's still a large, large population of people out there who, for whatever reason, would rather go to somewhere where they know the doctor. They're going to get that personal attention. It's not going to be a new doctor every time they go.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not being kind of forced into this funnel factory almost, but they're actually spending time with a doctor they know, they trust, and that they're going to value that over this you know, overly competitive offer that that doctor can't match.
Mm-hmm. Now, is dentistry a micro local? Like, do you only go to a dentist that's within X number of miles from your house or your work, or like, how does that work?
I'd say for the most part, generally people would go to the dentist within 7 miles of either where they live or work. Now, uh-huh. given in Atlanta, you know, you have a lot of people who go to the dentist in Buckhead because that's where their office is.
Right.
But they live up in, you know, Marietta or Cumming, whatever.
But in
it is.
A family, does the husband and wife typically go to the same doctor?
That's a good question. it's, you know, definitely, I'll let Dr. Egan speak to this too, because he probably knows more than I do. But from a marketing perspective, when we do marketing for dentists, we're talking mostly to women.
Oh, really?
And it's just generally because women tend to make those decisions.
Huh.
And men tend to wait years and years before ever going to the dentist.
And the wife's like, hey, you know, yeah. He's a good guy. You know, you can go there.
I can't tell you. I mean, I've gone to, like, you know, I've gone with doctors to networking events, mm-hmm. and I've watched people walk up to them, guys walk up and say, and you meet them, exchange cards, and say, you know what, I might as well come see you. It's been like 5 years since I've been in the dentist. So
really?
It's funny how that works. But, you know, you definitely, you know, women tend to be the decision makers. And you know,
and they go more often.
And my wife tells me, time to go to the dentist. So, and I'm even working with dentists. So I should not have admitted that. Please forget I said.
I mean, that's the one thing is that it's, you know, I don't want to use the word crisis, but that's what's happened with people. The number one reason people don't go to the dentist is because they don't have dental insurance. And so what's happened is healthcare costs are going up. We all know that. And so the companies that used to spend 100% for the employee's premium now spend 50%. And the companies that paid 50% now pay 0%. And then if I'm Joe employee and my healthcare costs go up, you know, I need to keep my medical, you know, for my family. And so then I drop the dental. And then, you know, that's just another barrier that not to go to the dentist. And so what's happened is that's why there, I think a lot of dentists, and I talk to a lot of folks, and that's where I really think the decline in some of the patient traffic volume has come from. This is sort of our part, and I know it's kind of cheesy, but, you know, to bend the healthcare cost curve, if you can get people in the dentist every 6 months, I mean, study after study after study will show you that will make that a healthier person, and that's going to drive down your healthcare cost. And so that's sort of, you know, my you know, why I get out of bed in the morning.
Absolutely.
Now, Patrick, as good as you look in a tie and as snazzy as you dress with those nice cufflinks, you could have gone to work anywhere. What compelled you to join Solstice?
Solstice is a very unique organization, and it's smaller. We're more agile. We can make decisions faster. I know some of the folks from previous lives when I was working in Florida. The main reason, though, is they were voted 2 years in a row best companies to work for in Florida. And so now the majority of the people that work here are, you know, member service reps and claims folks. And so nobody ever calls us up and says, hey, that root canal was fantastic. I love the way that extraction went. It was great. You know, or you paid that claim so fast. I just want to say thank you. And so these
thank you.
And so, you know, these guys have a real genuine willingness to want to help people out and to take those types of calls all day. And we're very big on like one call resolution. It's kind of funny. I say treat them like you treat every call like it's your mama. And, you know, so we don't focus on like talk times. You know, we want to make sure that everything gets done. And for people to take these types of calls all day and to, you know, deal with claim issues all day and to solve these problems and still say, this is one of the greatest places I've ever worked, says a lot about the organization, says a lot about the leadership. And when you take a tour of the office down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I mean, you can just feel it. It's very collaborative, and it's you know, it's a very good, almost, I mean, fun for dental insurance environment, you know. And so that's what brought me on. And I think that we're building a little bit of a better mousetrap as far as risk goes and plans that are going to be more affordable for the community, but yet, you know, profitable for dentists, you know. And so we're trying to create a partnership with dentists. And so I go in and I talk. I mean, Dr. Eaglin, how many times have I emailed you? You know, stop by your office. You know, we appreciate the dialogue. And so they're the ones that are actually delivering the service. And we're actually just the payment system. And so we want to take all of that information. And because we're, you know, my CEO is a dentist too. And then, you know, kind of work together to make sure that people are going into the dental office every 6 months to get their cleanings and fillings. I mean, dental insurance is sort of a misconception. It's not like car insurance. It's not like medical insurance. You know, like you hit a certain thing and then everything's covered. Dental insurance is designed primarily for your x-rays, your cleanings, fillings, all the high frequency, low cost items that keep you healthy. You know, that's why most plans have $1,000 maximum, and they started that in 1970. You know, and $1,000 doesn't cover, you know, a crown and a root canal. So there's got to be a better way. And right now, because of the economy, a lot of the dental carriers have actually taken it in the shorts a little bit. And so the average cost of a PPO plan has gone up to like $30, $35 for a single person. And, you know, that may or may not be affordable. And that's on group insurance. So we're not even talking about individual insurance. Not to get all insurance geeky on you, but... you know, so what the objective of our game is to partner with dentists to create a vehicle to get more people covered, to get them into the practices, to help grow their practices. And, you know, that's our primary objective, to get more Georgians covered and bring down the healthcare costs. Because if they don't go to the dentist, then they wait till their kid has an abscess, you know, and then they end up in Grady or Northside. And that's a problem, you know. In 2007, I was reading a report that said there was a 66,000 non-traumatic preventable emergencies. I'm using air quotes like a dork for the folks on the radio. You know, that and that was in 2007 when the economy was good. So imagine what's happening right now when there's less people covered and less people that are going to the dentist. And so that's where I see a problem. And, you know, we're kind of doing our little part to help out there.
Well, you're certainly to be commended for doing so, because if we can get a critical mass of people and really impact them that way, it is going to have a tremendous effect on overall health for the entire country, like the doctor was saying earlier. We really can bend that cost curve. So love the work you're doing. Before we let you go, want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you and learn more about Solstice. And then, of course, I want to go around the table and get everybody's contact info.
Okay. My name is Patrick O'Rourke, and I can be reached at 404-989-0277. Or you can check us out on the web at www.solsticebenefits.com. That's S-O-L-S-T-I-C-E benefits.com. And I'm here in Atlanta, so look forward to hearing from you.
All right. And marketing extraordinaire Ben Suggs. How can we catch up with you, man?
I think you just rebranded my company for me. Marketing extraordinaire Ben Suggs. You can call me. My phone number is 888-412-8820. Or visit online. The URL is www.practiceprm.com.
All right. And Dr. Jason Eagland, the captain of the Smile Makeover, right?
Wonderful, wonderful. We have three great, beautiful locations in the lovely Atlanta, Georgia. Johns Creek, Georgia, which is North Atlanta. We have Fayetteville, Georgia. And we also have Jonesboro, Georgia. And our contact number is 770-716-2701. And definitely visit our website. It has a lot of good information on there. And that's www.eaglindentalgroup. And that is eaglindentalgroup.com. Thank you so much. And we'll love to see you.
All right. Well, thank you all very much. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. The dental special is coming to an end. We will see you all next time.